You have tuned into a study of John chapter 1. Thank you for tuning into the Radio Bible Course. Today we commence with verse 18. No one has ever seen God. The only Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has made Him known. We have an interesting word here in the last clause. Made Him known comes from a Greek word from which we get exegesis, and it sounds similar, exegeomai. What is exegesis? Well, the first two letters of it, ek, means out of. And the sign which you have seen in many buildings above the door that says exit also comes from this Greek preposition. It means out this way. The other part of the word, geomai, means to lead. So it means, together, to lead out. Now follow this. Jesus came to lead out the truth about God. He did it by what He did and by what He said. So we can say He exegeted the Father. Now we call the kind of teaching that you get here on the Radio Bible Course exegetical. I hope scholars would call it this also. When one exegetes the Word of God, he takes what's in the Word and leads the truth out of the Word so people can grasp it. Now that's what Jesus did. He brought out the truth about God so people could understand the Father. There is another way of preaching, and some preachers follow it. It gets its name from the Greek preposition eis, E-I-S, meaning into. I remember our professors in seminary warning us about that kind of preaching, and they said, be sure that you are not preaching and teaching eisegetically, which means reading your ideas into a passage. The ideal is exegetically, getting the truth out of the passage instead of putting your own ideas into the passage. Now, that is what some preachers are doing instead of giving the truth out of the Word. I think the best way to teach people is by the exegetical method. And that is why I teach verse by verse and word by word. I attempt to explain the Scriptures so people can get a handle on them. Well, John writes that Jesus was exegeting the Father, or you could say making Him known, leading out the truth about God. Jesus is the interpretation of God. Those who heard Him and saw Him, heard and saw what? They heard and saw the Father. Now there's no doubt about that. This is the Jesus of the Bible, the one who came as the image of the Father, the perfect image. And He's the only authentic Jesus. Now I say that because there are some people who have created their own Jesus. They make Him a fine fellow who is a good teacher and a reformer, but Jesus was not a reformer. He was not interested in social movements. He was not interested in changing the world. He came here to speak for God, and He did it. And we are not supposed to try to change the world either. We are told to give the truth of God to men and women so God can change them. God is in the changing business, not us. When Jesus Christ comes, what will He do? He'll take believers with Him. And what will happen to the world? It's going to be left behind. We shouldn't be giving our energies to changing something that is going to be left behind. This world is getting increasingly evil, and we are not going to be able to change it. The very fact that you have believed and that you are in this world, however, does have an influence on society because you are bringing a degree of love and decency to a world that lacks it. Have you ever considered what a terrible place this world would be without any Christians? It would be awful. And I say, that's one of the great fears that a person ought to have who's not a Christian, because he is going to be left here with those kinds of people. In addition, think of what hell is going to be like. It's a place that has the absence of anything good. There'll be people there, people with their kind of people, but they won't be happy with them. Now look what Jesus said about how he exegeted the Father. I am referring to John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father." I love to read the Gospels, because there I see God on earth, in the body of Jesus. Jesus was the God-man. I hear God speaking through Jesus to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and to sinners. Jesus interprets him. He exegetes the Father. When you see Jesus in the Bible, friends, you have seen the Father. And that's why we ought to be reading those synoptic Gospels. They tell us about how God responded to people, what he was interested in, and how God hated some things in that first century society. Now we come to the next section in the Gospel of John, and that brings us to the narrative of the Gospel. Up until this point, we have been given the prologue. It has been an introduction. Now we get into the life of Jesus, along with that person who came to announce him, John the Baptist. In verse 19 we read, "And this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed." He did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." They said to him then, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." And there he was referring to Isaiah 40, verse 3. Now, why this curiosity about John? What caused these Jews to send a delegation from Jerusalem to find out who this man was? Why not just ignore him? Because John was creating quite a stir by his preaching. Multitudes of people came to be baptized, and he also said some very shocking things. Listen to what Luke records him having said. His words were insulting, and I might say that John had no public relations orientation. I say that because I spent my lifetime in public relations trying to say the right things to people and not trying to offend them, but without compromising truth, and I made sure of that. And I might say that no one at the university ever asked me to lie to the news media when I spoke to them about the university. If they had, I would not have lied. Now, John wasn't interested in what people thought. He was frank and he was blunt. He was also stinging. Listen to what Luke writes in chapter 3, verse 7. "You brood of vipers." Vipers are snakes. He's talking to religious people. Now try that in your church sometime. And John continues, "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits that befit repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham." And God could do that, by the way. He gave Abraham a son when his wife was about 90 years old, and if he could do that, he could make children out of stones too. Notice John's rebuke of these religious people. Quote, Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And John said, the axe is ready to cut down any tree that is not worth anything. And he is applying this to those Pharisees, those religious people who missed the truth of God and were also perverting it because of their own traditions. Where did John get this judgmental message for these people? Well, Luke chapter 2, verse 2 tells us that the word of the Lord came to him in the wilderness. And instead of going to Jerusalem, which was the headquarters of Judaism, he went into the region around the Jordan River. That's where he did his preaching. And he didn't have any advertising campaign either. Some people heard him, and they told other people, and the word got back to Jerusalem. Everyone was astir about this strange character who wore a coat of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. He had a diet of locusts and wild honey, and he was saying the most terrible things, so people came. He preached the baptism of repentance to Israel for the forgiveness of sins. Now keep in mind that his preaching was not Christian baptism. We should not ever relate Christian baptism to John the Baptist. It's altogether different. His preaching was only to Israel. And John was a reformer. He was calling people back to their God. They already had the Word of God, but they were ignoring it. He wasn't teaching them about eternal life here either. He was getting them ready for their coming king. Matthew records this in chapter 3. There John preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In other words, the king was there, and he was about to establish his kingdom, and John is telling the people to get ready for him. Change your mind. Turn your life around. That was his message. Now, John was announcing the dawning of a new day, and word got back to the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem, and they wanted to know who this preacher was. We can understand their concern, because tens of thousands of people were not only going to hear John, but they were submitting to him down there by the river, and they were accepting his baptism. They also believed what John was proclaiming came from God. So the delegation of priests and Levites arrived, and they were quite blunt. They don't have much tact either. They say, "Who are you?" And that's about the way we ought to read it. In other words, who do you think you are calling us snakes? Well, we'll have to finish this tomorrow. I'll be here, and I hope you'll join me. You can learn more about the Bible by listening to teaching tapes, cassette tapes, that is. Many, many people have purchased our teaching tapes entitled Understanding the New Testament, and after listening to them, often write for another set to give as a gift. One person said, "I thought I knew the Bible pretty well until I heard Understanding the New Testament. Why didn't they teach me these things in church?" Our free brochure describes these teaching tapes. Write for a copy. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.